Keep in touch via Twitter. Just follow at Radio General WHR.
Your feel better station.
Radio General.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Well, good evening. It's Wednesday night again here on Radio General, which means that it's a case of me and you and David Birch as well, who's joined me in the studio here.
Good evening.
For the Final Hooter, for the final time in 2015. But whilst we might be looking at the end of the year, it's the start of something new, isn't it?
It is, and can't wait for 2016. Of course, we had our first go of Rugby League at over the Christmas period.
The Rugby League was back, yeah. Definitely back on Radio General. Yeah. I was the most excitable man in Widnes.
I think so, yeah. I think I was closely second, though. And, yeah, it's great to be back, and, of course, looking forward to a big season at 2016 for both our teams, Warrington and Widnes.
Now, of course, I'm Dave Parkinson. I'm usually in here. Dave Birch, meanwhile, well, he was on just before. He's spending extra time here at Radio General.
Oh, it's worth it, though, to talk a bit of rugby league for an hour. No.
So, before we get stuck into the whers and what fors of Sunday, interesting, a few other results which came through, wasn't there? I noticed that Wakefield managed to beat Leeds in a good Friday.
Boxing Day, wasn't
Boxing
it?
Day, yeah. In a Boxing Day.
I was going to say, they've not brought it forward.
I knew as soon as I was saying that, I was saying it wrong.
I know.
In a Boxing Day friendly. And that was surprising because I think last year they got beat 50 points to 28.
Well, you know, again, you know, it just depends how far on sort of Leeds are at the moment. But with their preparations, of course, got a few new names due to come in to the club. And, of course, they're missing a couple of the grand final winning team that have now retired or moved on to pastures or even sports new.
Batley also have local bragging rights against near rivals Dewsbury. You know, there's only a mile between those grounds if you go as the crow flies.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, that's what you want. You just want a little bit of bragging rights. I know it's only a pre-season friendly, but I'm sure Warrington fans as well will be very happy with their work at Widnes on Sunday just gone.
I tell you what, though. I mean, it's an impressive crowd as far as Batley and Dewsbury are concerned. It just seems like whenever they get on the field, there's always 2,500 people that turn up for it.
That's a very good turnout for, you know, with classes at smaller clubs. But again, the fans are probably just as itching for some rugby league action, just like you've been, Dave, on your chair for the past 6 weeks or so that you've been rugby league free.
I have. I've been gnawing at it. You can see, in fact,
if anybody
comes into the studio here at Radio General, yeah, apologies, it was me. I've been gnawing at the chair waiting for the rugby league to get back, and now it's back, I can leave it alone.
Only a couple more weeks, and then you've got another game, haven't you? Is it about 3 weeks to the next game?
It is, yeah, yeah. Well, I've got one on the 17th. That's when Lee play against Wigan.
All right, big
really
one.
Looking forward to that. Another big derby,
big one. Yeah, of course you won that fixture last season in the pre-season.
So I reckon Wigan will be out for revenge.
Very much so.
They'll bring the pies this time, I'm sure.
Do you think so?
Yeah, yeah. The big guns.
All right.
The big meat and potatoes. Definitely. I'm intrigued because Wigan only seem to have brought in Willie Iser to what is already a very successful squad that they have there. And Lee have strengthened significantly with bringing the likes of Rangi Chase, Harrison Hansen, Corey Patterson into the club to name but three of the new signings. So I'm really intrigued to see how they slot in with everything.
Yeah, a strange one for me for Wigan is that they haven't actually replaced Joel Burgess, who's headed off to Australia. He went a couple of days ago. And there's talk that obviously Josh Charnley will come back in. Now, Josh has been out the sort of the Wigan picture most of last season, you know, basically just due to not being picked in the form, of course, of Burgess and Dominic Manfredi as well.
I'm gonna really praise Dominic Manfredi, to be honest, yeah, because he's a good lather for starters.
Oh, right, there we go.
You know, started his junior rugby career down at Lee Miners, so that's always a good sign as far as a decent rugby player is concerned.
But it just seems a bit strange how, you know, someone who's been, you know, out of the team due to sort of form issues, and then all of a sudden he's just going to sort of walk straight back in. I would have thought they may have gone out and looked for another winger You never know.
To be fair,
maybe Sean Wayne's got something in the bag that I don't know about.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair as well, if it doesn't work out at fullback, because obviously they're missing big Sam Tompkins, aren't they?
Yeah, he's going to be out until at least Easter, isn't he? If you think. So.
But if you look at who they're actually considering playing there, it's young Tierney, who everybody speaks of and says, "Oh, he's the son of Jason Robinson." So for me, he needs to step out of his dad's shadow. How he's going to do it, I have no idea, in honesty, but. Yeah, I do get the feeling that he's going to get first shot of the full-back berth, but he can also play wing as well, so if it goes a bit pear-shaped, he could find himself on the wing.
Brian Hampshire go back out on loan as well, which I was surprised by. He's another kid who's well thought of at Wigan, but, you know, sending him out on loan to give him a few more chances. It's worked, you know, previously for other teams and other players. So, just thinking whether, you know, we can get a few more injuries, because, as I say, it's not great when you get in Sam Tompkins and the whole, you know, furore that comes with Sam Tompkins, and then all of a sudden he can't play. You remember the announcement against Warrington.
Hang on, though. You know, we're not talking about the Haim playing here, are we?
The who? The who?
The who, exactly. But we're not talking of the fella who went to NFL.
NFL. NRL.
From the NRL to the NFL.
Oh, right, yeah. Jared Haim.
We're not talking about the Haim plane.
I know.
We're talking about the Tompkins merry-go-round, really.
Well, a little bit, but for, you know, for Wigan fans, he was their best player a few seasons ago. And,
to be fair,
he
was.
And he was Man of Steel, and, you know, despite him being a massive Warrington fan, which I always like to, you know, just push in there as well.
He doesn't admit it much these days, though.
He mentioned it when Warrington brought a shirt out the other week. He said it was his favourite Warrington shirt when he was growing up, and that upset a few Wiganers, by the way. That was when he was still in New Zealand. He probably wouldn't say that about this year's shirt. He probably hasn't even commented. But again, it's a big thing. They made a big hoo-ha of it when he was announced to re-sign. It was half-time against Warrington, and, you know, they had the big screen and videos, and, you know, it was like the X Factor, and, you know, like when Take That reformed and everything. But, you know, then he's come over, he's had an injury, he's missed the test matches, and, you know, he's going to be out for a little bit of time as well, but, you know, he's going to be back when they need him in the main part of the season, isn't he?
Now, you mentioned one man there, the forgotten man of Wigan, who's been shunted out on loan, Ryan Hampshire, played something like 15, 20 games last year. Highly rated young player, like you mentioned. He's been shunted out to Castleford for this term. And he made his competitive debut as well against Featherstone, and by all accounts had a pretty good first half. I think Featherstone found themselves losing 30 points to nil at half time.
Yeah.
And although they managed a bit of a comeback second half, Castleford got local bragging rights there by 42-28.
Yeah, and again, Castleford have bought well, I think, and they will be, you know, one of those teams that you do have to watch, and they'll be very, very tough to beat. At the Jungle, of course, the big dog Joe Manahan's gone over there as well. Sadly missed. But hopefully Tom Lynham, he's 1-1 at the moment, so he's on the route to that 165 in 165
Stop
games.
Stop building him up. Let the lad get a few games under his belt, first of all, before you start calling him as the next Monaghan.
Well, he can't be the next Michael Monaghan, can he? So have to be
well,
the next
no, he
Joel
can't. Monaghan. He can't. Anyway, the big elephant in the room is, of course, the Widnes-Warrington derby.
It is.
And, here are our audio highlights from our coverage here on Radio General on Sunday.
And what are Warrington going to do there? They're going to go high. That's the way it seems to have been on this season. So far in this game, and it's passing with a little chip kick over the top, taken by Tommy King, and Warrington have scored the first try of the afternoon. The referee has given it a nice little dinky kick from Declan Patton over to this left-hand side. Tommy King rising up high and catching the ball and falling over the line. And Warrington have opened the scoring here at the Select Security Services Stadium. That's a good start for Warrington. First time being down this end of the field, and they've got over the line, Dave.
Barely 4.5 minutes of this game. I thought that was a really constructive set, to be honest, from Warrington. And the referee signals last tackle. Dwyer, where's this ball going? He's taking it left. He's going himself. He's got his way over. And that's a second try of this game. And it goes the way of the Warrington Wolves, 10 points to nil.
Great little run from dummy half. That's what you want your hooker to do. Go on his own. And he sort of used the Widnes defender as a springboard to bounce off him and turn in the tackle and dive over the line. And good signs for Warrington. When they're attacking and they've been in the Widnes sort of 10 metre zone, they've not panicked on the last tackle.
Here's Gidley. Gidley, little ball to Hughes. Hughes going towards the line, but he's held up just 5 metres out. It is the last tackle. Which way are Warrington going to go? Reece Evans looks like he wants this on the right-hand side. And they are going towards Reece Evans. It's Bradwyre again.
He's
scored again. He's gone through that gap. And there's another try for Bradwyre, the second one. And, pretty similar to the try he just scored. It went on his own. He used Reece Evans as the dummy. As they go out to the right-hand side, Gidley, sliced kick to Tom Lynham.
That's not sliced, that was meant. He's finished
and
it as well as Lynham.
Oh, that's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. When I say sliced, it was the side of his foot, but that's what he meant to do.
That didn't.
I wasn't being sarcastic, it was a great kick.
That was a brilliant kick. Oh, he dropped it on a sixpence.
Side of the foot, great pickle from Tom Lynham, who scurried over from 5 metres. Great finish. And I tell you what, Joel who? Can we say that so early on?
Well, there was a film on, I noticed, over the Christmas period called Happy Feet, and that's certainly what Lynham showed in that corner because he took that ball just danced around his opposite number in inch, didn't he?
To Evans. Evans trying to burrow his way. He's about 2 metres from the Widnes Vikings line. Warrington have got 10 seconds to try and get the ball over. It's spread out again to Gidley, who kicks it forward. Philbin. Has Philbin got that? I think he has.
He's going to check with the touch judge.
I'm going to say he's looking for the video ref there. I'm not sure if he looked like he was held back there, Joe Philbin, as he went over. And he has. And I think Joe Philbin is our next try scorer. I think I've got that right. Or was it Philbin?
Or was it Patton?
I think it could have been. Actually, it's Patton. It's number 26, not 25.
Yeah,
My eyes have deceived me.
My eyes are dim, they cannot see.
Well, I can only tell because usually Joe Philbin has his socks down and Patton's got his socks up, so that's how we're checking the teams today. There's a half-time hooter has gone here at the end of the first half here at Widnes. It's been a very, very good half for the Warrington Wolves.
So Warrington still on the charge, 5 metres out of the line. Last tackle signalled. Ball back with Patton. Patton goes to the air. It's kicked over on the right-hand side. Oh, as he comes for it, it's been gobbled up.
Oh, great ball from Evans.
Inside.
And what a pass from Reece Evans. Absolutely fantastic pass. And pick up. The ball went free. I think that was it number 16? Oh, no, it can't be. Jack Johnson.
Yeah, I thought it was 20. It was either 18 or 28 that scored there. And yes, Jack Johnson. You'll be glad to hear, listeners, that I'm picking up some new glasses tomorrow.
And I'm actually got a Specsavers just in the middle of the month for my eye test. So we'll be all right for the start of the season.
We'll be up and running when that league game comes round.
I think I'm actually there the day before, so I should be okay.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, I'll be okay then.
Tell you what, it was a really well-finished move, that, wasn't it?
Lovely
kick from Patton again out to the right-hand side.
And he's done that a couple of times in this half, and, Ormsby challenged well, managed to palm the ball backwards, and then Reece Evans, when you thought he was going out into touch, managed to flip the ball inside, and I think the Widnes players didn't expect that he was going to get to that. When he threw that inside, Jack Johnson was on the inside, scoring the try.
Here's Dan Murray. Does well with his run back. Clears the halfway line. He's got three players hanging off him. Good strength shown by the youngster.
Very much so. And it's Morgan Smith who's going out to the left-hand side. He plays it inside.
That's Jacques Peet.
It is Jacques Peet. I really want him to be French.
Patton.
And he just missed that bench of Julian in his hand. Levesque, can he go over? Great.
Oh, he can.
A great little sidestep. And he is over just to the left-hand side of the sticks. And, well, we give him a bit of commentator's curse, Harvey Levesque, with a couple of early knock-ons. But I tell you what, he went through the gap and a sidestep round the full-back there. And the Warrington fans chanting, easy, easy, Big Daddy style, as Warrington go over. And that could be the side of 40 points this afternoon.
Tell you what, that was worth waiting for, that try, wasn't it?
It was. It was a grandstand finish from Levesque. And I tell you what, he'll enjoy scoring that one, his first try for the first team. And great take, great little pass from I think it was Declan Patton, and Levesque just to the left hand side of the sticks as well. And although I'm not sure if my adding's up going right, they've only got 36 points showing on the scoreboard there. That should be 38, shouldn't it?
It's definitely 38. Main start of their way balling about is Widnes Vikings 0, Warrington Wolves 40. It has been every bit as emphatic as that would suggest. But a good second half, I think, from Widnes. They did fight back. A lot of hard work shown, particularly from the younger players that they came on. We've already spoke really highly about Ollie Ashall, the fullback. Dan Walker didn't disgrace himself when he went to
Jack Houghton putting a very good shift as well, or Jack Houghton.
And we also saw Dan Norman come up with a couple of thunderous runs as well. We've seen the Chapel House stand tall.
Again, yeah, and these both teams sort of cancelled themselves out in this second half, because Warrington did manage to get over the try line on 60 minutes through Jack Johnson, the fullback, just a couple of minutes after coming on the pitch as well. Warrington's youngsters who come on and showed themselves well in the second half. Of course, there was Jack Johnson, Morgan Smith, and of course Richard Harris and Sean Kenny, I thought were the standout lads, and Dan Murray, who the big lad who come on for Warrington. But it was a great finish right at the end from Harvey Levett, his big ginger hair going straight through a gap and shining in the floodlights here at the stadium, going over just to the left of the field, left of the post, should we say, and a quick conversion from Declan Patton to finish us off here. But I'm sure, obviously, Tony Smith will be the happier of the two coaches when the scorelines came in, but there's been some good show from the Widnes Vikings in the second half, something to build on. But I'll tell you what, Kurt Gidley, standout for me in that first half. Oh. We mentioned Jordan Cox as well, who was probably our Radio General Man of the Match, as he came on in the second half and did a good stint there as well.
Yeah, I certainly thought Gidley stood out. It was all damage was done in that first half, wasn't it? There was some brilliant attacking rugby played at times from Warrington, some excellent interplay. You saw the likes of Matthew Russell, Kevin Penny and Tom Lyon link up almost as if they've been playing together for years. Well, that was the first game, wasn't it?
The Reece Evans, Tom Lyon partnership on that right hand side, as you said, you know, it didn't look like, you know, Tom Lyon had been playing at Hull and Reece Evans had been on the, you know, on the touchline injured for a few years. You know, it looked very, very good. And of course, Warrington's still got a lot of big names to come back into this side. Of course, Widnes have still got a few of their big names. Obviously, they miss Kevin Brown when he's not playing. But yeah, Warrington Wolves will be, of course, happy with this result as they go over to the salute the fans, should we say. Very Jurgen Klopp-esque.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
That's certainly what we plan to do here on Radio General. It is, of course, our Rugby League show, also in conjunction with loverugbyleague.com. I'm Dave Parkinson. I'm joined by David Birch, and I think it would be fair to say that we rather enjoyed our trip to Widnes.
We did, you know, as sort of a Warrington fan as well. It was a good result. Warrington played very, very well, especially in the first half. They looked very, very slick. Kurt Gidley, Jordan Cox, Tommy Lynham, new signings, just all sort of just fitting. Jack Hughes, another one who you know, just fitted in there like he'd been playing there for years.
To be fair though, some of the other players that have been around Warrington for a couple of years now, the likes of Brad Dwyer and Reece Evans, they certainly took the chances, and Luke, to have really developed their games in the close season.
I think one thing you're always looking for in a Super League squad now is depth. You know, because of the pace, the speed of Super League at the moment, there are always going to be injuries, players are going to get tired. You know, you do have to rotate your squad, and I think Warrington just needed a little bit more strength in depth, and if they can keep a lot of their main strike players fit, and, you know, they're going to have a good chance of a good season.
And to be fair, that was the third or fourth halfback pairing which Warrington could use in 2016, wasn't it? Because
definitely,
you won't be expecting Declan Patton to start every week, and I thought, well, I think I commented in that game once, he was a general out there, so it was General Patton at one point, wasn't it?
It certainly was. And what the one thing for me is, obviously the first half was bossed by Kurt Gidley. He looked, you know, he was brilliant in standoff. He can play standoff or fullback. Matty Russell was the fullback at the weekend. Wouldn't be any surprise to see him start the season in that position. And they're saying Stephen Ratchford will be there or thereabouts come the first game of the season, probably won't play. So I can't see why that wouldn't change. Obviously, Chris Sandow, you would think, would come in at scrum half. But if Declan Patton puts in a couple more good performances in the you know, in the friendly games that they've got to play, then there's a good chance that even he could start as well.
For me, it certainly throws down the gauntlet to Chris Sandow, who, I'll be honest, didn't cover himself with glory, did he, at the end of last season?
I think
Or am I being harsh?
I think you've been a little bit harsh. The last couple of games Warrington played, they had a game against Catalans at home, Hull at home, and the Saints game away. I thought he was outstanding. You know, that was only his sixth game for Warrington.
you know, and he's come in. His first game's Leeds Rhinos, who were, you know, who won everything last year. Then he's got to play Wigan Warriors, who obviously got to the grand final as well. So his first couple of games to come over from a new country and then sort of have to take over a team that isn't playing that well as well. He's going to have a full pre-season behind him, so he's going to be fit and raring to go. And obviously he's got a good chance that he's going to have a very good halfback next to him as well in Kirk Gidley. So watch this space.
Now let's look at Widnes. A flogging is hardly the type of pre-season friendly and starting point that you want to go from, but that's what Dennis Betts has ended up with. I thought some of his younger players really stood up, and it was perhaps some of his older heads and his two halfbacks who didn't seem to have much idea.
Yeah, I mean, Dennis mentioned in his press conference after the match that they sort of weren't really ready for a game, but I thought I was maybe a little bit poor. I mean, obviously, Warrington knew they were playing. They're getting their fitness ready.
To be honest, though, do you not reckon that he's got a point? I mean, you're a good month away from where you want to be. You don't actually play a game in earnest, if you like, for another 6 weeks.
Yeah, it just seemed like the Warrington players wanted to get out there. They wanted to have a hit out. They wanted to, you know, try a few things. You know, obviously, you know, they weren't showing all their armoury. But yeah, they just seemed a bit slicker and whatever. Now, whether Warrington are doing more sort of ball work in training, or whether it was just the fact, as you said, Warrington's, you know, bigger stars stood out. And but yeah, the second half did seem to cancel. Both the youngsters seemed to cancel each other out, and I'm sure there's a lot of good things for Widnes's future there.
I have to admit, although it was a difficult and testing one, that second half, from a commentary point of view, where there was a lot of players that, well, certainly I'll admit, I'd not seen him play.
No, definitely, yeah.
I thought that it was a really good tussle that second half, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing was as well, because the lights weren't in one stand, so we were struggling with a dark patch in the match as well, on the pitch as well, which didn't help us.
There was. Halton Council, please clean that up.
They were just testing us, that's all they were doing. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things, as I said, for Widnes to look forward to, hopefully, from a Radio General point of view as well, that they'll be heading towards the Super 8s and the, you know, in the top 8 this season as well, and making that step up. You know, but it's going to be tough for them. And, you know, again, you know, Corey Thompson come over, didn't really do much, just... Again, you know, he went off quite early.
He got a bit angry at one point, didn't he?
Yeah.
He nearly scored at one point as well, to be fair to the lad.
And then he just got angry.
Though, to be fair, I mean...
But Ollie Ashill come on and was outstanding, I thought,
yeah,
for Widnes.
Very, very good. 17 years old, he's a name to look out for. So that's Ollie Ashill. You heard it here first, folks. Let's get some post-game reaction. We'll start, first of all, from a losing perspective with Dennis Betts.
Not going to be pretty watching times, but I thought in patches we were okay. Just failed it. We lacked some cutting edge. I thought both our halves were pretty dull with the ball. It just wasn't a good overall performance, was it? I think Warrington did what they Warrington do at times. They ground us into a corner, and into the floor, and then offloads and second phase play. We get Gill back in there. We've got McGrath, who had to come back in. Like I say, we've got Chris Houston coming across. And when, like I say, I know Warrington had a few players missing, but I've probably got 11 Super League starters not playing today. And what today was really was to have a look and see where those juniors are, where those 19, 20 year olds are. And there's a couple of 16 year olds in that as well, who I thought actually weren't far off being the best out of that group when they both played on the field. It's what it is. This game's always one of those. I don't think we've done that well in this game since I've been here, really, you know, for 4 or 5 years. It's just one of those games when you go in and you try and put it. The fear factor, we were quiet. We've not been like that all year. When I stood on the sideline, I came down because it sounded really quiet when I was stood watching the first half. I spoke to my half time and I came back on again, and we were really quiet. And what Warrington do is they manufacture that enthusiasm that filtrates through the team, which is good for him, but we were very quiet. I think I can only put that down to being like a little bit of in the headlights and a bit young. Too many youngsters out there at a couple of stages. It is what it is. It's not like it's any different to any other Boxing Day or Christmas Day fixture. If I'm honest, we don't really prepare for it. I mean, we train right up until the end of it. We pick a team and then we go out and we play. So it's not like we've done any work on Warrington and not looked at... And when we've done well against Warrington in the past, we know what they're going to do, and we work on certain aspects of their play that we can control, and we lack that today. What I've seen today is I thought Alex Gerrard, he's not had a long big season, but he played pretty well. Matt Whitley again looks like a Super League player at 19, 20 years of age. I was impressed with Jay and Ted going forward. I thought defensively we can still put a bit more sting in them. But again, they're both 19 years of age. So that group there that sits on the edges of my squad at the moment, I have to keep them at Super League when Kev goes back in there, when Reese gets back, when Charlie Runciman, when Chris Bridge, Chris Houston, Samat Asad, when they go in there, we've got to look at trying to maintain as many of those players as we can. But the people that come in, I've got to have some ability to be able to plug a hole. It's just at the moment I can't make 10 changes and put 10 blokes in and be a real solid unit, which is I was hoping we would be better than we were, but it gives us a starting point, and on reflection it's what the players needed. With most pre-seasons, all the kids have gone really well. They've put a little bit of size on, the training really hard. Until you get slapped in the face, you don't know what it's like, really, do you? So today they've been slapped across the face. It's not hurt them. They're not dead. It's not, nobody's broken. Can we get better? Yeah, we can. Can we fix it? Yeah, we can. But it's really hard to plan your pre-season when you're still 6 weeks out from the start of the season, to get to that point where you're ready to play. Most of these lads aren't ready to play yet. I mean, some lads have been off feet, and we've had Corey today, it was good for him to get out there, but he came here with a niggle, a bit of a knot. He's had a knee operation just to tidy up something in his knee before he came. So he spent the first 4 weeks just in rehab, not away from the team. He spent the last 2 or 3 weeks back in just running some shape stuff and everything. So he's not really up to speed in what we want from him. Plus, he's probably going to play on the wing when Reece gets back, and he's not playing the wing today. He's playing the wing for the last 3 or 4 years. He gives us cover at full-back, which is pretty strong. Ollie Ashall today showed again why he gives us fantastic depth, yeah, as well in that position. Is there something in that kid that will get better? Like I say, he's still 2 years in academy, only 17 years of age. So he's going to get better and stronger. Danny Walker's a fantastic player. I mean, 16 years of age, you didn't see enough of him today, but he's brave, he's got a good pass, his kicking game's good, his awareness around the field's good. And like I say, just a bit of size, a bit of thickness in him the next couple of years. And so that's what this game's about. We haven't got the depth or the real structure in place that Warrington have had for the last 10 years, but we're starting to see players in that group. So it's... These conversations are always pretty tough, because that wasn't us today. It was a pre-season version of us.
So there you have it. Dennis Betts there doing his very best impression there of Bob the Builder.
Fantastic. And can he fix it? Well, yes, he can. Well, so he thinks he can anyway.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I have some sympathy for him in a way, Dennis. I think that his team that he chose on the day kind of froze in the headlights. There were some players that I expected to take a bit more control, who's been around the game for a bit. And I know that during commentary you spoke quite highly of Joe Mellor, I just get the feeling that he doesn't seem to do enough for me. I would like him to step up to the plate a little bit more.
Possibly, yeah. Could be a big season for him then, this year. Of course, young Tom Gilmore played as well, who was sort of being on the fringes of things as well. Witness, obviously, when Kevin Brown wasn't fit last season, Gilmore came in. And, you know, I think this season they're going to have to rely a lot on Gilmore as well. You know.
Just having a think of it, because there's a man who usually courts quite a lot of controversy with whatever he says, whatever he does. I'm not talking Alex Murphy, because I know he's a personal hero of yours, by the way, Dave. I'm talking about Gary Schofield. He's already tipped Widnes to finish bottom of Super League. Do you think that he's got some justification in doing that?
I think off one game you can't really say yes or no on that.
To be fair, he did it before this game.
Yeah, I can't see lower than... I can't see... anyone apart Wakefield. I'm sorry. Again, Wakefield turn to our cats. I think they will finish bottom.
I'll be honest, though. They've got 18 top-class players this year. They only had about 10 last year.
I'm not sure.
But we're down to that squad depth again, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. And that was a big thing for Warrington last year. You know, they did lose people in tough positions. We mentioned Reece Evans, Matty Russell. Hardly played last season. No, and they're very, very dangerous when Warrington are attacking. And the big thing for me was Warrington haven't had a decent halfback partnership for good couple of seasons now.
It's basically since Lee Brees has retired,
well,
isn't
well,
it?
Exactly, yeah, you know, and they've never replaced him. And
how can you replace him, though? He's irreplaceable. I mean, he's a legend.
I know, but you've got to somehow put something into place, and you've got to really have two players who are working. They needed that leader. You know, it's all right having, you know, Chris Hill, Ashton Sims doing the hard work up front, but they need someone to direct them around the field as well. And whether Kurt Gidley is that man, Chris Sandow is that man, even Declan Patton, because Patton looked like he was doing that in the second half when he was, you know, when Kurt Gidley went off for a well-earned rest. You know, it's Patton and Morgan Smith who were the halfbacks, and Patton was still shouting about, and you could see him, you know, pointing and moving. Now, obviously, Patton's worked under Lee Breers last season on the under-19 side of things, and, you know, we don't know how much work behind the scenes that's going in, but, you know, that was Gareth O'Brien's failing at Warrington, was he couldn't lead that team around the pitch. Mm. Great player, obviously, wish him all the best at Salford.
Yeah,
and Tony Smith's also said, if he can become a leader of a team, Warrington want him back.
Well, I mean, to be fair as well, they've done this with Kevin Penny, haven't they?
Exactly,
They knew that he had a few frailties in his game, you know, the defensive aspect possibly wasn't quite where you might expect a Super League winger to be. Mm-hmm. So he went away, he learned his craft, he did the hard yards at Swinton for a couple of seasons. He's come back to Warrington and he looks, well, he's one of the best backs that Warrington have, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fantastic. And, you know, if any youngster or anyone needs to look at that story, and it just proves that, you know, Warrington are true to their word. They've, you know, said, look, if you can improve, we'll take you back.
There was something interesting that I want to just come back to that you mentioned before, Dave, and that was the fact of how teams are now looking at the players 20 to 25 in the squad. Mm. Obviously, there's been a lack of good reserve team rugby. There's a little bit of that coming back this season. I noticed that Warrington are one of the sides that does have a reserve team this coming year. Mm. Wigan's in there, Hull's in there, St Helens are in there, I think, as well. And that's going to be quite an exciting competition. But interesting to see what Leeds have done, because Leeds didn't want to do that way. They've gone and jumped in to a dual contract partnership with Featherstone Rovers. Now, I wonder whether it's just because Featherstone have come forward in their hour of need with the training ground underwater.
Yeah, yes.
And, you know, they've offered them use of the training facilities, and Leeds have looked at it and thought, hang on, we've got the Championship Young Player of the Year sitting in our front row now in Jordan Baldwinson, who had a great year in the Championship, by the way. And they've seen Featherstone as a progressive enough club to get those players 20 to 25 first team experience. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it's just a different way of doing it. I know Sean Wayne's been banging on for a couple of years. He's missing this reserve, you know, sort of grade. And when you've got sort of these players needing games to come back in, you know, is it better to play reserves against Super League opposite, like a Super League opposition, or, you know, playing in a Championship match for Swinton or, you know, North Wales Crusaders? I mean, I don't know where they're going to get the best, whether they're going to get a bit more hardened by having a reserve grade. But I know Tony Smith and Sean Wayne.
Didn't he win X Factor?
He did, yeah. Don't know where he is now, though.
Propping up the Rovers returning.
Oh, is he? I'm not a Corrie fan, Dave, you know what I mean? Is it with it? One from hearsay, then? She's still there?
I don't know. I have no idea. They could do a good duet, though.
But yeah, back onto the reserves. yeah, you know, we'll see next season, you know, whether it does work out as the clubs want it. But, you know, they've asked for it back. They've been given it back. So it's up to them, really, isn't it?
Now, I'm sorry we moved off point there, but I just thought it was quite an important discussion point to have. I want to go back to post-match press conference. And we've already heard from Dennis Betts. Let us know here from Mr. Tony Smith.
From my boys, I thought on song with what was expected of him at this time of the year. You know, I don't think you can expect too much from them, from everybody. You know, when you throw them together for the first time in terms of playing, we've done some practice out for the last few weeks, but new faces and first time they actually rub shoulders with each other as a group. And, I think they sort of complemented each other, all the new boys and the old boys. I thought they all fitted in pretty well with one another. It's the old thing, isn't it? The longer the game goes, the more you start to... you know, defend that try line as well. You know, when it gets breached early, sometimes you succumb to another one or two. But, you know, the longer it went where there was a zero score line, I think it became a bit of a thing for all of them, you know, which was good. It was good focus because, you know, in that second half, there was a lot of changes of personnel and, you know, sometimes you can lose a bit of focus. But they all kept focus and credit to all the young boys who came on and some of them had their first ever taste of a first grade game, so it was good for them and good that they came through it. And yeah, but some good combinations going in the first lot. I thought the obvious one there was Gids. You know, Kurt was just well in control of things, and you know, which made everybody else feel in control of things, you know, and that's part of his role. So I thought he was outstanding there. But you know, Jack Hughes was fitted in terrific. Looks like he's been one of our players for a while. And Reece Evans, I thought, was another standout today. I can go through a fair few, but I thought Reece Evans was really good. Brad was terrific, yeah, probably. He's done a lot of work, mate, Brad, on his fitness. He's always had the ability. He's always been a goer in terms of he'll back himself and, you know, he's become a bit more rounded as a player now and he's had to work on fitness. If you're going to play hooker nowadays, you've got to be very, very fit. And he was always been a goer, but not fit enough to play hooker for very long. He can play hooker now. So, you know, he's looking to get himself fitter to play more game time this year. I thought he had some real impact for us at times last year, but it'd be nice to be able to rely on him to stay on the field a bit longer and not burn out. So, he was good. You know, Stefan will be touch and go for the start of the season. So, you know, the next combination you'll probably see is Kurt and Chris, you know, in the next friendly. But I thought young Declan was terrific today too. He stepped up and his kicking game really, he took control of the kicking game. And I thought, you know, you want to have a good kicking game in this type of weather and this time of year. And he did everything that was asked of him and a bit more, Deck.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Now, I just want to have a look around the rugby league news stories that are happening at the moment. I know we're in a fairly quiet period of the year, obviously. You know, a lot of coaching staff and teams haven't got back from the Christmas break yet. Certainly over at Leigh, they're heading off to Lanzarote for some warm weather training from Monday next week.
Oh, I can't remember the name of the place now. It's I was thinking of La Senza, but I think that's a woman's clothes shop.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going there.
They're not going there. Probably get more done, won't they? But yeah, I know exactly where you're about. I know where it is. In Lanzarote as well.
Yeah, I know that they went there.
Warrington used to go there
before pre-season last year.
Yeah, Paul Cullen used to use that quite a bit as well.
Yeah.
There's a few stories from a few of the bar owners that I'll tell you off air as well.
And God, what happens in Lanzarote stays in Lanzarote. It's not
for this show, I don't think.
It's X-rated.
Yeah, the owner of Lineker's bar in Lanzarote told me a few stories anyway.
But a couple of stories that I've certainly picked up is that Gil Dudson, the Widnes forward, we didn't see him. He was named in the original squad, I think, which Widnes released. And
yeah,
they didn't play him, did they?
No, he didn't play.
He's looking forward to the new season after undergoing a proper pre-season this year. Now, I'll be, you know, honest. Gil Dudson, down the last few years, he's probably looked like me.
He is, but again, you know, as you mentioned, you know, different fitness and, you know, maybe a different attitude this season as well. Maybe that's a lot to do with it. Of course, Widnes will have a new physio, seeing as Warrington have managed to get the transfer of John Clark back across to
I see you managed to shoehorn that one into the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Another one brought back. As you were saying.
Well, another one who's come back as well is Richard Mathers, of course, as sort of part of the, you know, the player sort of role, you know.
Talking about ex-players, though, and did you notice that Gareth Carvell has got a gig as the under-19s coach at Salford for next season?
That's very good, that, as well. And I think he'll be a fantastic coach as well. Lovely, lovely fella.
He was always a thinking man's forward as well, wasn't he?
He was, and again, you know, just managed to be lucky enough to speak to him a few times and, you know, read what he says. And, you know, he talks a very good game, and you know, Salford's youngsters have been coming through on the quiet. They had a good season last season.
I think they've got about six in the first team squad next season. You know, so I'm looking forward to seeing how they go.
And again, Salford, they've got Tim Sheens in charge with Ian Watson, and you know, they've bought a couple of players. They've got a couple of, you know, they managed to palm off a few to Lee, you know, that they weren't happy with. But yeah, you know, Salford, you know, again, if they can keep players fit and get a good start, that's the main thing, is getting a good start to the season. And you never know, Salford could be the surprise team of this year.
Now, talking about fitness, did you know that Wigan forward Dom Crosby has revealed that he's been recovering from a hip injury, and right, he's actually been playing with this hip injury for the last 18 months? That's got to hurt.
It certainly has. And you know, these players, they do play, you know, under the pain barrier. We don't know, you know, they always come out all strapped up, and you know, you don't know how badly injured they are. And of course, the big one, you know, for us locally is Ben Harrison, who's basically injured all over. He's had a full new body in pre-season. Of course, he will miss the start of the season. They reckon he'll be out till around about the middle of the season. But again, you know, these are just little injuries that he's just had to get work done on, you know, if they want to, of course, you know, progress in their careers as well, you know, because you can't keep playing injured, you know, it'll affect you in later life.
Now, as well, Hull Kingston Rovers, of course, they've come up with their own off-field high-profile capture ahead of the new season. But I just want to read you this little bit, and you tell me, if you were a head coach, would you be worried ahead of the new season? The chairman there, Mike Smith, has said, "We've brought Jamie in to head up the rugby department, and he'll be working very closely alongside head coach Chris Chester to offer support and focus on the long-term ambitions of the club. Part of Jamie's role is to develop a 5-year plan for where we want to go as a team, but he is also able to oversee the nitty-gritty details of staffing, recruitment and facilities to free up some of Chris's time and provide a link between the rugby department and the club's office staff. Jamie's appointment provides somebody to take the pressure off in those areas and allows Chris to focus on coaching, because it's still very much Chris's team and there will be no interference from Jamie in that regard." I'd be a worried man, to be honest.
I don't know. It seems a similar role to what Carl Fitzpatrick had been doing at Warrington. And now, obviously, you've mentioned Richard Mathers. Richard Mathers is doing that role now. Now Carl Fitzpatrick has been sort of moved to a new position within Warrington Wolves. But, you know, yeah, they do need someone like that. You know, when you don't know how much extra work Chris Chester's been doing, but I wouldn't be too worried by that. Again, what you've got to realise is, although Jamie Peacock has years and years of experience on the field, he's just retired. You know, he hasn't got any sort of coaching experience. But what he does have, he's had sort of a career with the Bradford Bulls when they were at the top of their game. They were doing all the things right off the pitch as well as on the pitch. And, of course, Leeds Rhinos, who have, you know, been the model club for the last, you know, sort of 10 years, numerous grand finals and wins and Challenge Cup final appearances. You know, so he knows how that's run off the field. And if he can take some of that experience to Hull Kingston Rovers, and I think all it says is, the chairman of Hull Kingston Rovers, he's actually been quite honest. He's saying, look, maybe we're not as organised as other clubs, and we need to fill these new positions and take some of the workload off people and move it around a bit. And I think that's a good move. And I think Jamie Peacock's going to be a fantastic signing for Hull Kingston Rovers. You never know, they get a few injuries, he may even turn out.
Oh, well, that's an interesting prospect, isn't it?
Well, you never know. It's in the back of their minds, isn't it? That had some awful injuries last year.
Now, there's just one final story that I want to mention here on the final hooter. In this final hooter of 2015. You see what I did there, Dave?
Yeah.
And that is, thankfully, Oldham have been approved to use a ground that you mentioned, Fields. Oldham's got one now that they can use in the Championship.
As long as it's not underwater. I know there's a few places, Saddleworth and surrounding areas are not great at the moment.
Well, they're actually heading out to Staley Bridge next season, where they're going to play at Boer Fold. Now,
is that the home of Staley Bridge Celtic?
It is. You read it over my shoulder, are you?
No, and I just knew that anyway.
It's got a capacity.
My mate's lab place for him.
Oh, excellent, right. He's got a capacity of 5,200 and has 1,200 seats. RFL regulations state that a Championship ground must have a capacity of at least 3,000, including 750 seats. Now, Chris Hamilton, the chairman of the Roughheads, said, "The RFL have rubber-stamped all the processes we've been through." So, obviously, we're delighted. And I'm really pleased as well for Oldham, because they've been to hell and back over the last few years, and nice to see them in the Championship for the coming season too.
Yeah, very much so. You mentioned it a couple of weeks ago about how many times they've actually failed to qualify and get promotion. But Stalybridge Celtic, it's a nice, well-run amateur football club. And, you know, they have got good facilities there. So I'm sure all the Oldham players and staff will be quite pleased with that.
So that's just about us done and dusted on this edition of the Final Hooter. Thanks for joining us.
Find out more. Go to radiogeneral.co.uk.
This is
Warrington Hospital's Feel Better Station.
Radio General. Across Warrington Hospital.
Across Warrington Hospital. With a bigger variety of music.
This is your Feel Better Station.
Radio General.